Hoover, W.L. July 22, 1901. Typed. Brother Hoover, when I was introduced to you, I recognized your countenance as familiar. It came to me that things had been presented to me concerning you. A sadness came over me. You have been presented to me as a man walking in a false show. You have capabilities, but they are not sanctified by the Spirit of God. You draw too much from the brackish fountain of self-sufficiency. With the best of opportunities, you have not made advancement in spiritual understanding. You have walked in the light of the sparks of your own kindling. Those who do this will lie down in sorrow. Hide yourself in Jesus Christ. Wear his yoke and learn of him. Then you will know that Christ is all and in all, and that you are nothing. Unless you learn this lesson, you will become a deceiver, a corrupt sophister. Your arguments will deceive human minds. Your theories are vain and deceiving. You attract minds to yourself. In your calculations, you lose the high sense of propriety which should be preserved. You like to lead young women to admire your wisdom, to have a high opinion of you. But your wisdom is not from above. You inspire in the minds of young girls thoughts which spoil their usefulness and taint their spiritual perceptions. You love to be thought a man of superior wisdom and deep insight. But if those who admire you could see in a true light the scientific problems advanced by you, which they think so wise, they would see them to be a muddy mixture of ideas. The less thought of and studied, the better for spirituality. It is not safe for you to follow your own supposed wisdom. The enemy would lead you to pervert the understanding of women as he perverted the understanding of Eve, leading her to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you yield to the temptations of the enemy, your false ideas and suppositions will spoil the spirituality of the men and women who think your sophistry something that will make wise. God does not want you to connect with young girls. You spoil the purity of their thoughts. You injure their spiritual perception. A married man, you might better keep to yourself, instead of speaking to young girls words which are as a canker to the soul. If young women will heed the warnings and counsels given, it is impossible for Satan to undermine their spirituality or to destroy the healthy tone of their thoughts. But some young girls become enamored with. They are charmed with your sophistry and obstinately refuse to listen to counsel. They do not use in their defense the weapons God has given them, prayer and a study of His Word. Many young girls are deceived and deluded by the theories advanced by unsanctified men. I wish you could see the evil results of your weakness, as shown in the effect upon those with whom you associate. After a time, the minds of the girls with whom you associate become so spoiled that they know not what manner of spirit they are of. They are unable to take a sober, sanctified view of Christ and holiness. God bids you keep your words of human wisdom unsaid. Place yourself under Christ's yoke. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. You are supposed to be a wise man. Your safety lies in becoming a fool that you may be wise for Christ's sake. Your personal influence is not good. Unless you change, you will spoil the efficiency you might otherwise have. As long as you follow your human devising, you will grow in self-confidence. Your self-sufficiency is a continual snare to your soul. You try to reduce it to a science, but it is vain philosophy. When you see your own weakness, you will be drawn out to make the Lord God your defense and your sufficiency. You need to become as a little child, for there are many things for you to learn. Come unto me, Christ says, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28-30. If you drink at the living fountain, you will increase day by day in knowledge. The water that Christ gives will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4, verse 14. There are many who accommodate their religion to their passions instead of bringing their passions into conformity to the Word of God. Many have sadly abused the gift of influence because they were not willing to practice self-control. He who does this is the enemy's agent, used by him to ruin souls. Unless restrained, human nature and self-love will rise to such proportions that they will break all barriers. Let men, whether young or middle-aged, be wise unto righteousness. Let them, in their association with others, resist the devil. Let them, in word and deed, strive to reach the high standard of perfection. Search yourself as with a lighted candle, lest there shall be found in you one darling sin unrepented of and unconfessed. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. In the name of the Lord, purify your soul by obedience to the truth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Rise above the flesh and blood, which cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God's elect must ever show their colors. There is no middle ground in the service of Christ. We read of Christ, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Matthew 12, verse 22-30. God's people are to be a peculiar people, separate from sin. Those who name the name of Christ are to depart from all iniquity. What men and women need is Christian heroism. God's word declares that he that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. The man who rules his own spirit is truly wise. He never talks of his superior wisdom, but he reasons from cause to effect. To rule the spirit is to keep self under discipline, to regulate every word and deed by God's great standard of righteousness, to reveal a character pure and undefiled. To rule the spirit means to firmly resist evil and to make painstaking effort to win God's approval. He who rules his spirit will look to Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. he sets the Lord ever before him. Such a man in any of our institutions can be depended on. He turns away from wrongdoing to use his God-given abilities, sanctified, refined, and purified in the Master's service. He keeps his mind fixed on duty. He does not indulge self. He keeps his eyes fixed on the righteousness of that law which exalts a nation. But the man who makes self-gratification supreme is not needed in the institutions which have been established for the advancement of God's cause. God's law has been placed as a bulwark round human beings to protect them, body, soul, and spirit, from corruption. The kingly power of sanctified reason, transformed by grace, is to bear sway in our hearts. He who rules his spirit is in possession of this kingly power. He is a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Said Christ, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16, verse 24. It is not safe for you to serve in the Lord's institutions. You place self first. You live to please self. You do not know by experience what it means to serve God. Unless you can be first to manage and control, you are not satisfied. Everything that is done puts you on the rack if your desires are not gratified. You need to learn from Christ the science of Christianity. Will you fall on the rock and be broken? Will you fasten your mind on eternal realities? Elevate your thoughts. The soul of the Christian is full of holy meditations. Then there will be no self-glorification. You will not attract young girls to you to listen to your wisdom. Before you can be a vessel unto honor, you must feel in your heart the converting power of God. Until your heart is humbled and sanctified, you cannot safely instruct others. In the prayer which Christ offered to his Father just before his crucifixion, he said, "For their sakes also I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17, verse 19, 17.
Your course of action must be changed. It is time for you to go apart from our institutions and rest a while. Your judgment is certainly perverted. As you are now, every institution with which you might connect would be thrown into perplexity and confusion by your actions. You have a high estimate of yourself. God desires you to separate from your perverted ideas. He desires you to show that you respect the abilities which He has given you by consecrating them to His service.
Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, "The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy"? But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4, verse 5 to 10.
You fail to see the necessity of binding about your desires and plans. You do not understand the necessity of managing every line of work economically. You have a pride which is not profitable. Your high ideas need to be held in with bit and bridle, else they will lead to unpleasant results. Your penetration needs to be sharpened, that you may see the result of using money too freely.
Unless you study economy, you will bring debt upon any institution with which you might connect. You should be associated with a man of stern principles who strictly binds about any unnecessary expenditure. Those connected with our institutions need to study how to save expense so that the institutions shall not become involved in debt. Wisdom must be shown in the matter of purchasing. Money must be made to go as far as possible. By careful management, many dollars may be saved. Expenditures should not be made unless they are warranted by the means in hand. There are those connected with our institutions who incur debts that might be avoided. Perhaps unnecessary expense is entailed to beautify the building. Money is often used to gratify taste and inclination. Let everyone now strive with courage and activity to save rather than to spend. Say to those who are willing to consume without producing, "It is my duty to economize in every line. I cannot encourage extravagance. I cannot let means go out of my hands to purchase that which is not needed." From the highest to the lowest, God's workmen are to study to economize. Let each one say to himself, "I am to restrain in myself any inclination to spend means unnecessarily." Let those who work in God's service be producers as well as consumers. Look at the greatness of the work and restrain the unchristian inclination to spend money for self-gratification. Count the cost of the thing you desire to buy. This is an excellent opportunity for everyone to stand in his lot and in his place. Let each one try to produce something. Those in God's work should be willing to help wherever help is needed. They should make their expenditures as few as possible, for necessities will arise where every dollar will be needed to carry forward the Lord's work. The employment of helpers for indoor and outdoor work is a matter that needs careful consideration. The managers of our institutions are to be careful and prudent. They should not engage helpers unless it is a positive necessity. In this matter, mistakes are often made. The helpers in our institutions should act as though they were a part of the firm. They should not think that they must work only for a certain number of hours each day. When emergencies arise and extra help is needed, they should respond willingly and cheerfully. They should feel an intense interest in the success of the institution for which they are working. Thus, others are encouraged to work interestedly and conscientiously. Christ said, "Gather up the fragments, that nothing be lost." John 6, verse 12. Let those who act any part in our institutions heed this institutions. Let them take care that there is no waste in the spiritual and temporal supplies which the Lord provides. Economy is to be learned by the educators and taught to the helpers. And by precept and example, parents should teach their children the science of making a small amount go as far as possible. Many poor families are poor because they spend their money as soon as they receive it. The one who occupies the position of cook in a sanitarium should be trained to habits of economy. He should realize that no food is to be wasted.
The word of inspiration tells us that we are to be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse 11. Let all who are connected with our sanitariums take hold of their work interestedly and earnestly. If helpers have not learned the science of being quick, let them begin at once to train themselves in this line, or else consent that their wages shall be proportionate to the amount of work done. Every day, nurses and helpers should become more efficient, more all-round and helpful. They can individually help themselves to reach a higher and still higher standard as the Lord's helping hands. Let those who are naturally slow train themselves day by day to do their work more quickly and, at the same time, carefully. Perhaps the idea will come to your mind that you have too much work to do. Ask the Lord to help you to be quick about your work. Be determined to be just what the Lord desires you to be. Put heart and soul into your work, and before you are aware of it, your work will be done. And it will be all the easier because you do not complain. Do not dream or build air castles, but work. Those who receive pay for their labor should put in good time. They should be producers as well as consumers. As they obtain an education in these lines, they will become more and more able to do perfectly the work assigned to them. They will be ready to take hold of the work in any place. The workers should seek to become efficient in every line. The helpers in our sanitariums are not always to be kept at one line of work, for sanitariums are educating schools. Those helpers who are faithful and efficient are to be advanced to higher lines of work. They are to become competent in different lines. God will give them knowledge and understanding. They will gain tact and ingenuity because they are willing to learn and willing to do.